ordinary people with extraordinary stories. That is the ethos behind the Louisville Story Program, which is celebrating 10 years of amplifying unheard voices and untold stories. Jeffrey Brown went to Kentucky to see the power of writing one's own story. It's part of our arts and culture series, Canvas.
The beauty, the power, the precision of thoroughbreds on the racetrack. Familiar images of Churchill Downs. But there's another side to life at the home of the Kentucky Derby, the so-called backside. That's the term for where 22-year-old Merlene Cano Hernandez has been working since she was 11, alongside family members who've come over the years from Guatemala.
A lot of people don't know about what goes on here, all of the different roles everyone plays back here, and how that it's like the most important one for what happens at the front.
For many workers on the backside, work can start as early as 4 a.m., sometimes 7 days a week, grooming, training, walking the horses.
There's like so many people that I think like I can't count them with like my hands right now. For me, it was really important and really amazing to be able to tell like the readers a little bit of how it is to like work back here.
Cano Hernandez is one of 31 contributors to the book Better Lucky Than Good, Tall Tales and Straight Talk from the Backside of the Track. It was published in 2019 by the nonprofit Louisville Story Program and distributed to readers here and around the country. The program was created to tell stories by and about its community. Among them, In Heaven Everyone Will Shake Your Hand, which features the work of self-taught artist Julie Baldiga. The Fights We Fought Have Brought Us Here, from 10 young writers from the high school Muhammad Ali attended. And No Single Sparrow Makes a Summer, the stories of young Louisville women who collectively speak 9 languages and have lived in 7 countries.
Always good to see you, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Next time.
Raven Churchill helped write I Said Bang, a history of the Dirt Bowl, the crown jewel of what locals call the most basketball-obsessed city in America. It details the annual summer basketball tournament held in West Louisville since 1969. There was much lore from the early days, including one tournament in particular that attracted thousands. But Churchill says,
there's no pictures of it. There's no video of it. There's no way to document it. So we wanted to be able to, for the next generation of, you know, dirt bowlers and people who, you know, enjoy Louisville basketball in the summer, to be able to go back and look and be like, hey, this is where it started. And so, because it's not a lot of people I know sit down and read books these days. So I didn't really know what to expect, but the response that we got was overwhelming.
This is a shot from the 1950s from the Louisville Defender.
Behind these efforts is a small team led by Darcy Thompson, executive director of the Louisville Story Program, who on this day was literally sifting through history to tell the story of Louisville's 20th century black photographers whose work has been hidden unprotected in basements and garages, inaccessible to the public.
We link arms with folks like that who want to tell the stories of their communities and want to author those stories. And we accompany them in the process of developing nonfiction, like documentary books, radio stories, exhibits, in which they document the richness and vividness of their communities from the inside.
And it really becomes about voice, right? Individual voice, yes. Which somehow you have to help bring out. Yes. What's the key to that?
That's a great question, because we, you know, someone who is a little newer to this kind of process, you know, they've done a lot of writing in school and often been sort of told to write in ways, certain ways that may not be their voice. And we basically, you know, encourage them, you don't have to worry about that sort of formal things, like just kind of let it out. We try to be sensitive and not push them away from their voice, you know.
Operating in this small basement office of Spalding University, the team works to curate the past. Deputy Director Joe Manning was taking old recordings of gospel music gone missing, hidden in closets and attics, and digitizing them as part of I'm Glad About It, Louisville Gospel Restoration Project. In the mid-20th century, the city was a hotbed of gospel producing and recording.
The saints of God are gathering home.
Manning took us to see fifth-generation gospel singer Wilma Claiborne, who ran a record label called Grace Gospel and a record store by the same name in the 1970s and 80s. She was rehearsing with her grandson, recording and performing artist Jason Claiborne, and spoke of the history she wants to put into the book.
The talent in Louisville was so powerful. We moved to a store. It was owned by a church, and we rented it was two or three rooms, and we set up the records. And I said, well, we've got to have gospel music in here. So that's what started the gospel music industry in Louisville. For me, there were no other stores that were selling gospel music.
That was taken here in Louisville after a program.
If you don't write the history or tell somebody the history is lost. And I found that the history of gospel music has been lost pretty much.
Another story being worked on, the incarceration of Chiquita Tinsley and others, for a book in process titled Tracing Grout Lines in Cinder Blocks.
Louisville Story Program allowed me to kick the door off the hinges.
Tinsley grew emotional at the realization she would be recognized as a published author.
It makes me say that I am one because I have so many journals, you know, that I've written, you know, in private. And, you know, because, you know, I was afraid to share my writings with people.
It helps our city know itself.
Know itself.
Yes, really know. And then our role is also to shout from the rooftops, you need to listen to this. You need to read this, what this person wrote. You need to understand all this.
Darcy Thompson ended this day gathering material from another generation-strong gospel family, the Pimpleton Singers, known for carrying on the gospel quartet tradition. One more part of this city's history now being preserved. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown in Louisville, Kentucky.